Hey everyone, we know that these are uncertain and stressful times, and we here at The Indicator feel really fortunate that we're still able to get up every morning and do the work of informing and explaining and just helping you make sense of it all. And one reason we're able to do that is because of your contributions to public radio stations. So we are asking you, if you can, to please donate to your local NPR member station. And to find out how, head to donate.npr.org/indicator. Thank you.
NPR. Clifton, Texas is a little town of about 3,500 people near Waco.
I joke, I'm here because I really hate red lights, and our county has three of them.
Adam Willman has lived in Clifton all his life.
We are a rural area, so you travel 1 mile outside of Clifton city limits and you can be on gravel roads in the middle of pastures.
Adam is the president and CEO of the hospital in Clifton, Goodall Witcher Healthcare. Adam's ties to the hospital go deep.
I actually was born here. The current mayor of Clifton is the physician that delivered me. My mom and dad live here. Half of my relatives live here. My grandmother is a resident of our nursing home.
Goodall Witcher has 25 beds. There's 8 doctors and an overall staff of 235 people. Adam says he knows almost everyone, and their families, too. The hospital is the number one employer in Clifton.
Goodall Witcher is small, but they are a full-service hospital, open 24/7. Emergency room, births, surgeries, 2 clinics.
A normal day, you have patients, you have visitors. We deliver babies. Both of our clinics, very busy. Our cafe, we would actually have community members come just to eat lunch with us or have coffee.
Of course, all of that stopped about 4 weeks ago.
The new normal is that I don't get to see my community members walking the halls or drinking coffee. It's really quiet up here. The halls are quiet.
Like hospitals all across the country, Goodall Witcher has redirected all of its resources to the coronavirus pandemic. They've essentially stopped doing elective surgeries, things like knee and hip replacements, and procedures like colonoscopies.
No one is coming in right now. And Goodall Witcher is totally focused on things like amassing resources, masks and ventilators and hand sanitizer and gowns.
They've set up a little testing center in the parking lot. It's manned by a few nurses and a doctor. And there's even a special place for them to change into and out of their PPE, their personal protective equipment.
We were able to get a camper trailer, so we set up an outdoor office for those nurses and that doctor so they're not coming back and forth in the clinic. We actually have a deer blind from our local hardware store because we've been getting rain. Well, that's so they can go into the deer blind and put on their PPE without getting wet.
All of this has been enormously expensive. And rural hospitals like Goodall Witcher tend to operate on extremely thin margins. Right now, there's almost no income and there are a lot of expenses. And many rural hospitals have seen almost no coronavirus cases at all. They're just empty.
Waiting on a surge.
Meanwhile, their financial situation gets worse and worse and worse. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, rural hospitals. Even before the coronavirus pandemic, they were in rough financial shape. And now hundreds of them are at risk of shutting their doors.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Okta. Okta enables any organization to use any technology securely. Learn more at okta.com. Support also comes from Capital One with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet?
Adam Willman is the CEO of Goodall Witcher Hospital in Clifton, Texas. He says typically rural areas are 2 to 3 weeks behind urban areas when it comes to contagious diseases.
Even within the flu, you know, you usually see flu hit these urban areas a little bit quicker because there's just more people and everybody's closer. Well, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after that, you start seeing the flu pick up and start peaking in rural.
So that's what Adam is preparing for. But in the meantime, the rest of the hospital has essentially stopped functioning. Almost no elective surgeries or procedures are happening, and everyone is avoiding the hospital.
And the trouble with that is that elective surgeries and procedures and patients coming into the hospital are how hospitals make all of their money. It's how they pay their nurses and doctors.
And at the same time that this is happening, Adam is seeing expenses soar. And these include buying equipment and complying with state and federal mandates for COVID-19. Adam has been buying up N95 masks from the feed store and the hardware store, but his hospital only has 2 ventilators, for example.
There are hundreds of small rural hospitals across the U.S. in exactly this position, says John Henderson. John is the president of TORCH, the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals. John and his team have spent the last few weeks driving all over Texas, delivering masks, hand sanitizers, and ventilators to rural hospitals so they have at least some of what they might need. It has been a lot of driving.
Texas, as you know, is a very big state geographically.
John says rural hospitals need this equipment, but they can't really compete with larger hospitals.
But the issue extends far beyond equipment. Even before the coronavirus pandemic, nearly 1 in 4 rural hospitals was in danger of shutting down. Many of them only have a cash reserve of less than a month. And now, a lot of them either do not qualify for the federal aid that's provided in the recent CARES Act, or if they do qualify for the aid, they are likely to lose out on the billions of dollars going to hospitals because they are not as connected or influential as larger urban hospitals.
And John says without that federal money, most hospitals will only be able to last for a few weeks before they need to make extreme cuts or shut down entirely.
I had a member hospital CEO that told me he had an orthopedic surgeon that would normally see 50 patients a day in their clinic. And the day I talked to him, the surgeon was helping sew masks from bandanas. That's hard to sustain as you go from 2 weeks to a month and a month to 2 months.
John says in the last 10 years, more than 100 rural hospitals have closed their doors. He worries that the coronavirus pandemic could wipe out hundreds more, which would leave huge swaths of the population with no immediate access to healthcare. And he says it's an older, less wealthy population. And in the more immediate future, it could mean large hospitals in urban areas being even more overwhelmed and overrun with coronavirus patients.
Adam Willman says that his hospital, Good Ol' Witcher, is hanging on for now. But the bottom line is starting to get pretty bleak. The hospital has asked suppliers for a grace period, but that can't last forever, and the decisions are getting more and more dire.
Do you go out and spend $20,000 on N95 masks, or you keep that $20,000 so you can make payroll in 2 to 3 weeks?
Adam says he needs some government money to come through to help Good Ol' Witcher. And he says he needs it really soon, like within the next couple weeks.
We'll look at what our cash flow is and what we're bringing in. And I think we have to, you know, I don't like saying it, but we're going to have to really look at, you know, you're going to have to start probably making cuts or furloughs.
But here's the thing. Adam says Clifton's population is older. So if a surge did come, it could be really extreme. And he would need all hands on deck.
It keeps me up at night. We have to be prepared for a surge. So it's not like we can close our hospital down or furlough employees. We can't do that because at any given moment, we could have that surge and we have to be ready. So it's a catch-22.
But there's a twist to the catch-22, Adam says. The way the CARES Act seems to be set up, Good Ol' Witcher might actually need a surge to happen in order to survive because it might help get them some of the government money they're counting on.
I hope we don't have that surge here. But if you look at a lot of the CARES Act, there's higher reimbursement when you actually start taking care of the COVID-19 patients. And so, you're in a catch-22. I'm here waiting for patients, praying we don't have any, because you don't want to wish this on anybody, but you're not getting any of the additional reimbursement for taking care of those patients. So where do you go with it?
For now, Adam and Good Ol' Witcher are waiting, along with hundreds of other small hospitals in Texas. Adam says he's in touch with a lot of them, and they're all worried, and nobody is sleeping.
You know, who would have ever thought a pandemic would actually close hospitals because you can't do normal operations?
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Camille Peterson, fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. The Indicator is edited by Patty Hirsch and is a production of NPR.